You're listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. You can find out more about the resource and construction industry, including how to communicate consciously with your stakeholders, at resourceindustrymedia.com.au.
Welcome to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media and Connecting Industry. I'm Kieran Moran. The Connecting Industry Podcast series is designed to tell the stories of the people who work in the resource and construction sector throughout Australia. It's our goal for these podcasts to not only keep you up to date with the latest resource and construction news, information and procurement opportunities, but most importantly, build relationships between you and our guests so you can connect with their stories and get a better understanding of how to communicate and tell your business story right. On this week's Connecting Industry Podcast, and in the lead up to the Connecting Renewable Energy Conference New South Wales, we have Mike Wood, Regional Manager for Sunrise Energy Metals. Mike is an experienced project manager with over 25 years operational experience in mining and minerals processing across nickel, uranium, copper and gold. He has held numerous leadership roles over the past 20 years across projects, engineering, maintenance and operations disciplines, and he has worked across a variety of management roles with China Molybdenum, Rio Tinto, North Limited and Western Mining. Welcome to the program, Michael.
Thanks, Kieran. Thanks for having me.
As I said in that introduction, you know, you've had a lot of experience within the industry. Before we go into that, I suppose, as well, but also, you know, you're working for Sunrise Energy Metals. You yourself, do you get up at sunrise?
Oh, I am a bit of an early riser, Kieran, yeah. up with the birds, yeah.
Yeah, up with the birds. And that's actually one thing that I could get into in relation to a lot of our people that we do get on here. A lot of them are in high-pressure jobs. A lot of them do get up very early. What makes you tick every day to be able to do the work that you do?
I think there's a lot of drive and passion around this particular project. It's, I guess it's something new. I've spent a lot of time working on operating mine sites. You know, to have the opportunity to get involved in a greenfields mine site is a great opportunity.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it is something that, it's growing with, especially, you know, as they're calling it, the renewable minerals and that sort, and they call it new minerals, but of course they've been there for a long time. But it is a project that he's working on, you know, in relation to battery materials and so forth, and a few others. But before we get onto that, you yourself, you've got quite a bit of experience over the years, as I have said. So how did yourself get into the energy industry?
I guess it's something I've always had a passion for. My background's electrical engineering, so I guess that's got a particular energy focus. I cut my teeth working in the nickel industry over in Western Australia, and then moved on to uranium up in the Northern Territory. And a lot of the technology that's applied in this particular project is also quite relevant and used in uranium. So it was a lot of technology that I was already familiar with.
Because you have worked in uranium, and don't want to go off track at all, of course, there's been a lot of talk in relation to energy and nuclear energy being part of the mix, and I don't know in the area of uranium that you were working in, but what's your point of, you know, what's your ideas around that sort of industry and if that could be a part of the mix of the Australian energy?
I think, you know, there's definitely very high capital outlays for nuclear power plants. And you've got to have robust systems and processes and regulations to go along with that.
Yep.
I mean, I think for a country that has so much sunshine that Australia does, it makes perfect sense to make, you know, broader investments in renewables.
Okay, yeah, it is one of those subjects at the moment, and I think you know, the recent report, the CSIRO, actually completely ruled it out in that respect. But it is a movement that is growing, so I did have to ask, basically, and see what your opinion is on that. So, okay then, renewables, a lot of sunshine and so forth, and of course that's not one of the only sort of areas that we can work on in creating new energy. But okay, the Sunrise Energy Metals and their project, the Sunrise Project. Tell us a little bit about that.
So the Sunrise Project, it's a laterite nickel and cobalt resource It contains over 900,000 tonnes of nickel and 160,000 tonnes of cobalt. So there's enough reserves there to sustain a 50-year operation, and it also contains the world's largest scandium resource. So it's an approved state significant project. The process is integrated, so all the way from ore will produce the plan is to produce a nickel and cobalt sulfate.
Yep.
All at the one location. So there's a lot of value adding. We're not just digging stuff up and washing it and putting it on a ship, which is done in for the likes of iron ore and coal within Australia. It's a large project. So it's actually the largest greenfields mining project in Australia at the moment. So it's got a capital cost of just under 2.4 billion Aussie dollars with a construction commissioning timeframe of around 3 years.
And from what I can see, it says that the Sunrise is strategically placed to play a leading role in the electrification of the global auto industry and to support the growth of renewable power generation. So, yeah, what's it going to be used for and at what strengths, I suppose, can it be placed as a leading role for electrification of the global auto industry?
Yeah, so definitely, you've hit the nail on the head, Kieran. So in the sulfate form, that's the form that the metals are required to go directly into manufacture of cathodes for batteries for electric vehicles. So we're targeting the EV market, and we're targeting auto manufacturers to invest upstream in their supply chain to guarantee a long-term supply of nickel and cobalt into manufacture of batteries for EVs going forward.
Now, as it is as well, the company's been working on the project for a little while. As you said, it's development ready. You've got a number of things in place. What did the company see? They obviously saw this for the future of where the industry is going and so forth. What made them move into this sort of direction?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a growth area. It's both nickel and cobalt are classified as what's called critical minerals. So there's a list of minerals both at a federal and state level, and also internationally there's a number of countries that have a list of critical minerals, and they're effectively minerals that they deem to be needed for future industries for decarbonisation and the likes. So nickel and cobalt both fall into that category. So we definitely see it as a growth area. And an opportunity to assist in that sort of decarbonisation process globally.
And in regard to like the Australian government, as you said there, and also where you're based in relation to New South Wales, how's the government support been? There's a lot of criticism, of course. There's a lot of positiveness, but there's also a lot of criticism with how fast both governments, federal and state, have been moving over a certain amount of time. How's the Sunrise project been supported?
Yeah, so we get good support both at a federal, state and local government level. So federally, we were deemed to be we were awarded major project status by the federal government back in December last year. So that provides us with fast-tracked approvals at a federal level. And I guess in hand-in-hand with that, we were provided with a conditional letter of support for debt funding for the project of $400 million from Export Finance Australia, which is, an arm of the federal government that provides debt funding to projects that contribute towards the export dollar. All right, so at a federal level, we're getting some good support. We meet regularly with several departments within the New South Wales state government, so we get great support at the state level, particularly with the Department of Regional New South Wales. And even the local councils, we've got three different local councils that we deal with. The project itself sits in the Lachlan Shire. Our water for the project comes out of the Forbes Shire. And a lot of the transport infrastructure, our main regional office, and we'll have a rail siding that will sit in the Park Shire. So there's three local shires that are actively involved and all very supportive of the project as well.
And what about support also from the car makers, the car industry? One project up in North Queensland just got significant support from a major car maker over in the United States. I suspect, you know, not just with them, but with a number of other different areas of industry, a project like this will sort of need to make some deals and get that support to be able to get off the ground.
Yeah, definitely, Karen. We're getting a lot of interest from car manufacturers globally. So I think there's a growing realisation that that the automotive industry is going to need to invest upstream in their supply chains to be able to secure, you know, long-term supply of key minerals in terms of, you know, the nickel and cobalt sulfates that we're able to provide. So we're getting a lot of interest at the moment, and things are progressing in that space. But yeah, it's a bit of a change of mindset for the automotive industry. It's not, they haven't traditionally had to look all that far upstream in their supply chains to say where are the raw materials going to be coming out of the ground to make these batteries. But we are starting to see some change in that space. You know, for example, Tesla within the last 18 months sort of signed a deal with Glencore for supply of cobalt. I think Ford Motor Company has recently signed a deal with a provider out of Western Australia. So we are starting to see that vertical integration of the automotive supply chain sort of reaching all the way up to mining the actual material that they need.
Now, traditionally as well, in relation to nickel, hasn't got the greatest reputation through to bad miners in that respect. And now that's changed quite a lot, especially over the last decade, changed quite a lot to the way a lot of things are mined. Now, this project as well, it's also designed with one of the lowest carbon footprints in the industry. Tell us a little bit about that, of how you're managing to do that.
Yeah, so I guess we have committed to 100% renewable energy for the project. So that's, you know, there's probably not many mining projects I'm aware of that have done that. And we've achieved that through being able to tie into the Orana Central West renewable energy zone. We're not at the point where we've secured power purchase agreements with service providers as yet. But that's definitely something we'll need to do. But by sort of committing to renewable energy, that allows us to keep the carbon footprint for the project low. We also will generate about 40% of the power that we need on site through a steam turbine. So we'll have a sulfuric acid plant on site. So it's an exothermic reaction to make the sulfur, so the waste heat from that process is used to run a boiler to produce steam. The steam's then used in the high pressure acid leach process itself, and then any leftover steam is used to run a steam turbine. So we'll actually generate around sort of 20 to 25 megawatts of power on site through that steam turbine.
And what does it take to do something like that? There's I know of another project as well, and of course, a lot of their product actually involves coal, but they're not coming out and moving the project forward until they have pretty much across the board, again, the same goals as yourselves in relation to 100% renewable energy to be able to make the project, the carbon footprint as low as possible for the project. But that takes a lot of investment and so forth to be able to do that, a big change of thinking. And it has been around for a while, but it's really getting pushed forward now. The company itself, Sunrise Energy Metals and all that, what does it take to be able to put things like that in place? Because in some respects you would have been able to, okay, here's a project, we know how to do it, we can get up and running, but now to move it into, like you said, 100% in relation to using renewable energy and the carbon footprint and so forth, that takes a lot more investment and a lot more thinking and a lot more a project development, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it is something that's key, particularly to that EV market. Quite often the market for our nickel and cobalt sulfate, they're actually legislated in terms of being able to look at their overall carbon footprint for the manufacturer of EVs, and that includes looking all the way upstream into their supply chain. So it's not necessarily just a feel good thing where we can put in our hand on our heart and say that we're doing the right thing. It's also something that's required from our customers. And I guess from the initial studies we did, from a cost perspective, we were seeing that, you know, the cost of renewable energy was getting better and better all the time. So, you know, in terms of the economics of the project, you know, it made perfect sense to head down the 100% renewables path.
Okay, and part of it is also the Sunnery also hosts one of the largest scandium deposits globally, a metal that is becoming increasingly important in as an alloy in aerospace and the automotive applications. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Yeah, so the global supply of scandium is currently around 10 to 15 tonnes annually. So it's not a huge market at the moment. So the Sunrise flow sheet will actually produce up to around 20 tonnes a year, with the capacity to be able to expand that to up about 80 tonnes a year with a pretty modest additional capital outlay of around 25 million. As that scandium market grows, we'll see future investment in, you know, a dedicated, you know, resin in pulp scandium extraction circuit, and then further refining capacity will offer the potential to increase the scandium production potentially up to around 150 tonnes a year.
Okay.
Well, and you're right, there's lots of uses for that, and we're actually pretty active in that space in terms of trying to grow that market, you know, largely within the states, but we are seeing a lot of growth in that area in terms of the automotive sector and also in solid fuel cells.
Okay, now as we talked about, you know, a lot of this is also lithium ion batteries and so forth. And, you know, we're moving a lot more into that. You mentioned Tesla before and so forth. And it's, you know, what they're saying is that a lot of our cars are going to be running off that in the future. What do you believe is basically the development of these sort of batteries and how that's going to grow in the future? There's a lot of debate about the technology, where it's going to move. But what's your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I guess what we're seeing is, you know, some manufacturers are tending to err away from the use of cobalt, largely due to the ESG risks that come along with that, because the majority of the world's cobalt comes out of the Democratic Republic of the Congo in Africa. So, not all operators out of the Congo, but there's definitely many, you know, publicised cases, around, you know, child labour and illegal mining. You know, there's lots of ESG risks that go along with that. So I guess we're sort of positioning ourselves as a safe jurisdiction to invest in from an ESG perspective. I guess what we're seeing is, as some of the battery technology changes and people want to move away from using cobalt, in that the composition of the cathode, what we're seeing is they're using more nickel. So because we're able to provide both nickel and cobalt, it provides a minimal risk to our project as technology changes.
And you're also using as you mentioned, just with technology, you're also using a process that is a little bit different as well, if I've got that correct.
Yeah, correct. So we're applying, and this is, I guess, what makes the project a bit unique and sets it apart, is we're applying what's called ion exchange technology, which sits sort of just prior to the refinery, the refining stage of both nickel and cobalt. So that's some proprietary technology that Sunrise Energy Metals owns the right to. Our former sister company, Cleantech Water, also applies that technology in their industrial wastewater treatment plants. Right. So through applying that ion exchange technology in place of sort of traditional countercurrent decantation and precipitation circuits, it allows us to, you know, reduce the capital costs and reduce the footprint of the overall processing plant. And then with carbon and scandium credits, it actually gives us a negative cash cost on our nickel production of around negative 80 cents US a pound.
Okay, we're speaking to Michael Wood. He's the Sunrise Energy Metals Regional Manager, and he'll be presenting the Sunrise Batteries Materials Project, which of course is based in New South Wales, and he'll be presenting that project at the Connecting Renewable Energy Conference New South Wales on October 27. So we'll get onto that now, actually, Michael, in relation to the supply chain they're attending. A lot of it is about procurement opportunities. Now, of course, we want people to be able to attend and get the direct information off you in relation to the procurement that's available. But give us a little bit of an overview of where you think some of the work is heading for the project for the supply chain.
Yeah, so there'll be quite a number of procurement packages for a project this size. You know, obviously, you know, the project will start with civil works that'll be needed for the, you know, around the project site and for the camp. There's a 65 kilometre long water pipeline that's needed to provide water to the site. There's the processing plant itself, which will be broken into a number of packages. There's a lot of steelwork supply that'll be needed. We'll need a camp for construction to be able to house up to 1,900 people. So there's opportunities there. I mean, that's a small city in itself. So we'll, and then that camp will be sort of scaled back down once we move into the operations phase. There's also, I guess, out of the $2.4 billion for the project, there's about $200 million in investment that sits outside of the mining lease. So there's about 35 kilometres in rail line that we need to upgrade. There's a new rail siding that we need to construct to the north of Trundle. We'll have an AMSOL storage and distribution facility located at that same rail siding. There's about 30 kilometres in local road and intersection upgrades. We've got to put in an 80 kilometre long 132 kV power line to supply power to the site. So I guess in terms of renewables, I think that'll also open up opportunities for connection into the grid, with a strong supplier being installed into that region, which, you know, currently isn't there at the moment.
Well, there definitely certainly is a lot of opportunities there from a little bit more than actually. I've looked at the project now for the last couple of years. I did try to get this project onto a conference we did last year, I think in February in 2021. But now the project has grown a little bit more. It's changed a little bit slightly as well. But definitely a lot of opportunities inside and outside of the project. So a very interesting project to be involved in.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's something we're fairly excited about, and we think it's a long-term project. Lots of benefit for the region and you know, for suppliers across New South Wales and across Australia in general.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, mate, we're basically at the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for joining us. It's been great having you on, and we also look forward to seeing you at the Connecting Renewable Energy Conference New South Wales on October 27. That's an online conference. If you are after a ticket, go to www.connectingindustry.com.au, follow the prompts to the events and so forth. But Michael, thank you very much for joining us today.
No problem, Kieran. Pleasure. Thanks very much.
You've been listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast interview series with Kieran Moran from Resource Industry Media. To find out more about the resource and construction industry, including past podcasts, news and events, go to resourceindustrymedia.com.au.